Hey, Redline Radio listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Chicago sports fans. This is Barstool Carl.
And White Sox Dave.
Chief.
Eddie.
And this is Redline Radio and All Gas No Break Chicago Sports Podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite and Barstool Sports Chicago. Off the top, Rich Strike. That fucking move at the end. I saw you tweet, it looked like Barry Sanders. I went back, watched the aerial view. I watched that aerial view highlight 1,000 times in a row.
Crazy.
It was like such 80 to 1.
Yeah, I went to Hawthorne the night before. And did kind of what Elio, Dave, and Big Cat did, a little syndicate with two buddies, you know, all mm-hmm. threw $100 in. Nothing crazy. One of the buddies, he threw 20 on Rich Strike.
Ooh.
So it was nice. We all got 500 a pop.
That's nice. That is nice.
I forgot where I told this the other day. A friend of mine texted me. They were down with their whole family at the Derby in Kentucky, and their mom was checking out. I don't know what they were getting, but he showed me their seat, and it was a $21.21 tab. And the mom's like, oh, I got to put $21 on the 21st horse. And she did. And fucking hit. It was almost $1,100. I think the horse paid
more.
$14.
Yeah, that's a lot more. We got paid off. There's three of us.
$1,680, 21-1.
It was like $544 a piece. So.
Yeah, it was. So that's a nice hit right there. It's a real nice hit.
As you guys horse guys, like, I don't know the extent of your ownership, but like, they said the horse was $30,000. Like, it was for
that's a cheap horse.
Yeah, like $30,000, and then obviously they only signed it. We 30 seconds before. So, like, when you guys see Rich Strike, are you guys texting each other like, "Hey, what do you guys fucking think?"
Well, our horses are more expensive than that.
Yeah.
So it's like, well,
you have a better horse than Rich Strike technically. Then,
well, it's more purchase expensive. Price. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Which means it's better.
Better pedigree. Well, hopefully he's not better. Clearly not better. Proof is in the pudding at this point. I love you, Jay.
There's been a handful of horses that have done this over the years. I forget.
There was a $10,000 horse. There was a claimer. I think it was that gelding that won it.
There was a gelding
5 years ago.
Like 5 years ago,
Secretariat was an overlooked horse too.
It was a horse that like thousands of people owned, and it was through an app that was like, you can just sign into the app. I don't know the whole story I'm getting, but for all intents and purposes,
but it goes to charity when you win. That was that one, because we thought about doing that too before we got into Crown's Way.
Did we actually think about that?
Yeah, but that's how the conversation
once
starts.
The horse won the Derby, it was like, holy shit, like, we want money,
right?
And they're no, can't have the money,
right?
But it's not unheard of for a horse.
Sure.
That's, you know, a 30,000. Was it a claimer?
Yeah,
I don't know if it was a claimer or not.
Regardless, for me, at least, I'm excited because I'm like, well, I know fucking guys that have horses at probably 30 grand. That doesn't seem like a lot for
it's
horses.
Not.
But in any event, it's good. I should say off the top, too, it's good to have the four of us back in the room together. There's no guest. Dave, you've been out. You were in Boston. How travels are good.
Yeah, travels are good.
You were live tweeting from Fenway.
Went to Fenway a couple of times. I love that stadium. And the White Sox beat the shit out of admittedly dog shit Red Sox team, which is fine. We'll get to the White Sox later on soon, but I've been busy. I've been on the road nonstop. I've only been home like a night in the past 2 weeks, all work related. So it's good to be back in the swing of things, though, with you guys.
Yeah, it is. And one more thing about that horse race. That was maybe the most exciting horse race I've ever seen.
Dude, that...
Just because that last slip cut over Messier, like, it was just out of nowhere. And obviously being 80-1 odds.
So. I think it's the first derby I actually missed.
That's like
20 years.
I missed last year's. The one where I had the futures ticket and the fucking Medina Spirit.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a ticket, Chief. I was screaming. It was like the Boise State Oklahoma game. You're like, no way is this house is ending.
We had a Friday night family wedding, and my sister was like, do you want to take the kids, my nephews, to the shed? And I don't know what is going on, but like, maybe it's the weather. Like, it's like, it's not summer. It's not derby time yet. And I just like said, sure, I'll go. And then I like realized when I was there, like petting fucking sturgeon fish, that the derby was going on. Yeah, so I missed it.
Tough.
But
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, what else? What off the top of the show? NFL schedule release. Dave doesn't like it.
It's not that I don't like it. It's you know the teams you're going to be playing, so it's just you're getting the order, basically.
Okay. So but it is like, fun to at least then think if people want to take trips or something and you're like texting your buddies like, oh, did you see...
Yeah,
like
yeah,
week five, fine. You want to go to Vegas?
It's just great marketing by the NFL. They do it better than anybody.
Every couple of weeks, just a little drip.
Here's the thing, though, and like a lot of people take what Mark Cuban said a while ago about Roger Goodell and the NFL is, you know, well, just in general, a lot of people take what he says as gospel, right? Mark Cuban, as it should. Like he's great, you know.
He's got a good track
great
record.
Great on Shark Tank, great record. But remember that pigs get. Fat hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah.
He said that about the NFL. He's like, that's like the least league I'd want to own a team in right now. I mean, the NFL is still doing this shit and people still salivate over it. Like, yeah. I don't, like, that was, like, I think that was in the midst of, like, the concussion
I
thing.
Think so
and,
too.
Like, it was drastically overstated. Not saying that shit's not real, but I'm just saying, like, the NFL, they're fucking humming and they, like, are great at this team.
Oh, yeah. They're the best on earth.
I want to revisit that quote in, like, 20 years.
Yeah, there's probably like some huge changes like going on at the generation and the youth levels.
Youth
that'll
participation
be,
dude, is way down.
I mean, my hometown is a great example of it. For each weight class, and we played, it was called BGYFL, the Bill George Youth Football League. It
Shout
was
out,
like
Bill
a, like I want to say it was flag to 75 pound to 95 pound to like 115 pound all through heavyweights, blah blah blah, and there was. At least in every single division, there's at least two full football teams for the gold teams. So both like eight teams. And then there were the silver teams that had three. And now they're like struggling to put together one team per weight class. And this is Wheaton, Illinois, that's had a lot of football tradition over the last 30 years. And they're in like youth participation is struggling.
Yep.
But a lot of it has to do with the CTE shit. CTE shit. I was about to say CTA, CTE shit, and but to Chief's point,
sure.
Fast
but here's the thing:
years,
like
we'll
the quality of the product may dip, but there's always going to be enough guys to fill those rosters.
That's true.
You know,
of course.
Like a lot of youth program, and I agree with that. I think that should be the new model of it. Like you know, start them in grade school, grammar school. Like have them play flag, work on technique and whatnot, and then like you know, get them into hitting in the older ages. But there's still going to be enough to fill the Power Five.
Yeah.
Like, they're still going to always
As long as those institutions exist, then
yes.
Well, and I think, yes, there will be people to fill the roster. The more important thing is that there's always going to be people signing up to watch it, too.
Yes.
Like, you won't want your kid to do it, but you would definitely pay to watch someone else's kid get their heads beat in.
Yeah.
So.
Did you guys see the stuff about Tariq Cohen?
I haven't finished reading it. Okay. I started the article.
It's some heavy stuff. Danny, I don't know if you want to grab the mic for a second. It's pretty heavy stuff. You were going through it yesterday. He's like our little producer here. I shouldn't say little. He's like 6'4". But you, what was like the crux of some like the heaviest revelations that you were talking about yesterday?
Well, first, the both of his brothers died. That was really tough. That all
did
happened.
Not know that.
That happened recent since he's been in the NFL. Both, you know, his family moved away and he stayed on his own in North Carolina for high school. Both of his brothers kind of fell into drugs and gangs and stuff. So that kind of weighed on him. Also, like he said that his brother had gotten arrested and called him and was like, hey, I need you to cover me. And he had to go to his house and dump like thousands of dollars of cocaine into the toilet.
This is like while he's on the Bears, right?
Yeah, this is like in his like training camp, his first one.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's sad, man.
So yeah. the article goes on and like explains, you know, in his like first person point of view of just like his journey, and he still wants to keep it going. And like, yeah, I guess obviously, you know, we had a lot of stuff to bitch about, but like just like heavy fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you lose sight, obviously. It's easy to lose sight because all we give a fuck about is whether or not they're converting third downs. But
he's overcome a lot,
yeah,
for sure.
And I think one of them was a twin, right? He was a twin brother, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, that's got to be.
Other speculation, RG3 to the Bears. I can't actually believe that he said that, but like.
I think he meant is like, well.
He wants to be in the quarterback's room, he said. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, the way I read it, I didn't see it. Is there a clip? The way I read it was that he wanted to be like a
mentor.
Yes, not a play. I don't know, not a player.
Or maybe he's just like, this is my quickest way back to a starting yeah. job.
Yeah, like all that fucking offensive line, they're not going to protect him. Move me up.
I'll take an easy $1 million.
I'm ready to go. Nick Foles is out. Let's go.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. No real opinion on that.
I can't wait till next week or training camp when we, you know, once we have that schedule release and we just go through it like we always do and pick out the wins.
Win. Didn't we, 10, like, 6, the first year 10, we did 7. That with Dan, didn't we, like, get a bunch of them right? Or didn't Dan pick the one where Dan picked, like, 14 in a row or something?
Yeah. It was just last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just last year.
Yeah, it was just last season.
He was fucking smoking it.
Yeah.
Smoking it.
And it was something like if he had actually bet on them, like, every week he would have been, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just.
Of course, when you give it fucking just arbitrarily, like, it's but when you're trying to actually give
can't
picks,
do it.
You fucking suck. Hey, not him, everybody.
Speaking of smoking it, White Sox, Dave, can we talk about Dylan Cease for a second? That fucking creepy little mustache?
That was a nice little subtle euphemism there. What's there to talk about? He's a fucking stud.
19 the White strikeouts Sox, his last 12 innings this week.
Yeah, he
just give up one
it's
run.
It's not even so. He always had the pure shit. Obviously, like you can watch as a novice baseball fan and see that the stuff's there. Upper 90s fastball, wipeout slider, wipeout curveball, decent changeup. But now he is on the edges and commanding everything, and it makes me want to come myself to the moon. It is so fun to watch. Him and Michael Kopech right now look like they're bored when they pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as the best compliment possible because they're just going up there like, all right, I got the ball. I threw the ball. The ball's either in play softly or it's in the catcher's mitt and the hitter's walking back to the dugout. They're on a different level right now. And thing about Kopech is like he hasn't even – like he's still just a hair rusty. He's gotten better and better each and every start. Like, he's been largely a two-pitch, two-and-a-half-pitch pitcher with his – and he hasn't really worked in his changeup. They're starting to do that more and more, and if they become four-pitch pitchers with their pitch mix and the command that they've flashed, I mean, both of them could be competing for a Cy Young this year. And then you got Lucas Giolito, who's just outstanding. I mean, I think it was the first time a pitcher went into the seventh for the White Sox this year yesterday. Gave up a little, you know, opposite field home run, good pitch, whatever. It's 1-2-3. Those three pitchers are going to keep them in every single game. And then you got Lance Lynn coming back.
So who needs Rodon?
In a couple weeks. Don't even get me started on that.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
I want to go back
to Dylan Cease for a second. So, like, he's just super stoic. He, like, doesn't give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
And that was something when he, like, came up with the White Sox. If you saw him, like, in his first couple starts or whatever, he'd be erratic. He is a strikeout hunter. He loves striking guys out, and he's obviously doing it very effectively now because his stuff's so great. But, like, as a strikeout hunter, he's going to get wild at times, erratic. When he came up in the big leagues, he wasn't, like, as polished nearly, obviously, as he is now. But he was always – he looks the same. Now that he's fucking dudes up, he still looks the same on the mound as he did when he was fucking drilling guys, and that's a testament to like when he first got in. Like, he has that showman fucking attitude and stuff. And I think when you watch the last year's series against the Astros, like, if you have this guy you have now, who's, we're not saying he's going to be as dominant as he is right now over the course of the season, but like he's pitching like a bona fide number one shutdown ace, and that is
absolutely
like the biggest thing the White Sox, before people say we need a right fielder, we need a second baseman, like the absolute number one thing is like a fucking guy who can go toe to toe, pitch to pitch with like a Justin Verlander.
Scherzer,
in game one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I Like, even last year, I think most White Sox fans would agree with this. Like, last year, he was by far the best year to date of his career. And from 2019-2020 through 2021, like, there was little increments. Like, he started missing more bats. The command was improving. He was, you know, able to go deeper into games because it would be like, prior to this year, it was 100 pitches, you know, 60% strike clip, struggling to get through that fifth inning. Now it's just like bang, bang, bang. It's so much different than his years past. And that was the difference between him being an ace, because it should allow him to be a pure ace on any rotation in the league. And it's the command. And I enjoy watching him pitch at this point. He's been an artist so far, just living on the edge with every single thing in that. Like, the pitching ninja, everybody knows him on the internet. Like, he's a pitching ninja, like wet dream. He's like just one after the other. His slider makes people look stupid. His fastball makes people look stupid. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a righty lefty, if you're a lefty, he'll put that slider on your back hip. You're swinging over the top of it. The ball by you if he wants.
You know what's nice about Cease too is, I mean, you're prepared, right? People are going to be talking shit about the division like they were last of course, year and everything. Yeah. But he goes out and does it against the Angels. And like that's a, you know,
yeah, just mows him down. Yeah, like really does a good job against Trout. That's a hot lineup, yep, too. That's a very good lineup.
Yep. I mean, he had 3 strikeouts and 3 at bats, and Mike Trout, arguably the greatest player in the history of the sport, surefire will retire a top 5 player of all time. He made him look stupid.
So that's a big game too, because that's a fucking, you know, you guys are down in that series 1-2. It's a 4-game series. It's a fucking day game. It's a getaway game. You have the Crosstown Classic looming. So to have Cease go out there, drag his balls all over the fucking mound, strike out, do all that shit. Here's what the White Sox have done since. When they took the mound, they were 8-13 that day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, since then they've gone 7-1, and the game they lost is Josh Naylor fucking hitting a grand slam off Liam Hendricks in the most improbable comeback.
What the fuck are you laughing at?
You know what I'm laughing at.
Is White Sox Dave slept through it?
I'm going to assume you had some 3-chi that.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So here's my thoughts on this. Okay, I was sitting there late at night, and I see people tweeting about it. I see Mailer motherfucking banging his chest. And I was like, what happened? I know they played the Sox tonight. I wasn't watching. And I go, and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, instantly, you know, one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Go right to at Barstool WSD on Twitter. I'm like, fuck, it's going to be good. Baby. This is going to be fucking annoyed, outraged. Like, I was ready.
Disgusted.
Not a peep. And I'm like, oh, no, he fell asleep.
I was hanging, and I was on 3-chi.
Thanks to 3-chi.
Yeah. So I confronted him in the next duel scenes. It'll probably be in there. He just hand up. He said he fell asleep. I mean, there's no. It and happens. Listen, you weren't getting shit, were you?
I fell asleep on my couch. And I woke up. This is probably 12:30 at night or so. Woke up ready to turn the TV off and go to my bed, and I do that, and I get into bed. I obviously fire up. I want to see the final box score to see what the final score was, and I was like in that half asleep, half awake state where I looked at it, and I'm like, they didn't lose. I watched the game. They won. There's no way they blew that lead. They have like
am I still high right now?
Like, I sincerely did not believe that they did that. And White Sox Twitter, so I said, shoot me in the face or whatever. White Sox Twitter was in like beyond meltdown mode. I said, like, I fell asleep before the 9th inning. Shoot me in the face. And the next morning I woke up. I'm like, you know what? That's an aberration. Like that is so rare to happen to any team, let alone a team that's supposed to be gunning for a World Series. Like, you can kind of laugh it off. Not really, but kind of. And people, like White Sox fans, responded to me like, oh, no, you're saying that because you missed it. You're like, I watched it, and I'm not going to be able to watch baseball for a few days because I can't get this stink out of my mind. Like, people were genuinely like, I need a break from my team. So I'm glad that I missed it. I'm very glad that I missed it because I probably would have been in the same way. I saw the Naylor highlight. I didn't see any of the moves. I don't know really what happened. I've been actively avoiding all of that. And like, if you follow my timeline and all that on Twitter and on the blog and everything, I'm like, they win tonight and they win looking crisp and clean and like an actual World Series caliber team, we can laugh at it. And the same goes for, I mean, well, they just got canceled because of COVID, which we'll talk about in a minute. But they looked fantastic last night. They looked great last night. Tim Anderson spun just an outstanding game at shortstop, had three more hits. Sheets had another bomb. They looked one, awesome.
One out of ten confidence level in Liam Hendricks right now.
I mean, he's always going to give up bombs. It is what it is with him. He's a fastball slider pitcher. And if in Josh Naylor, people need to understand Josh Naylor he was a 12th overall pick. He was drafted purely on his bit. Like, if you look at him, he's a fat dude. Like, he doesn't play a position. He's not an athlete. He can rake.
Looks like Robin Lopez.
He hasn't raked quite yet professionally, at least at the major league level. But like, one day it was probably going to click for him, and it might have clicked, which sucks for the White Sox a couple nights ago. But if you're sitting fastball on any pitcher, chances are you can square one up if you're a major league hitter. And when Liam Hendricks can't control that slider for a strike or at least generate swings on it, then they're going to be sitting fastball and they're going to tee off on him. It's going to happen every few weeks, and that's just something you got to live with them. Other than that, typically he's going to be lights out, you know, 9 out of 10 times. He's just going to have those ugly ones here and there, and that's what you got to live with.
Yeah.
No, one more thing I would just say is that if you look at the White Sox since they've kind of gotten hot, and we've been waiting for this, I think, especially in this office, is they're just not giving up any runs. You go through, look at their wins. It's like 0 run, 1 run, 2 runs,
yeah,
3 runs.
Pitching's all outstanding.
So the pitching's going, crazy. And when the pitching's going, then the bats can relax a little bit. Then once the bats get going, it's already starting to get hot in Chicago. So, like, dude, they're off to the races. They got this Yankee series that's starting. So obviously, like, now's a good, if you're a White Sox fan, like, you've kind of battled through a little bit the first month to kind of get to this point where you can really puff your chest out and be like, we got the fucking boys going. And on the opposite side of the series, like, the Yankees are fucking stacked. It's exciting baseball. And on the complete opposite end, like, the Cubs are just a fucking, I mean, it just,
it was a fun 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was fun. You know, now it's like the pitching picks up. Kyle Hendricks was awesome against the Padres, but like, Marcus Stroman goes to the IL. It's just not a good team. You know, they're just not good. You needed Schwindel to pick up from where he left off, even just not even to the full extent. But
bitch about dead balls now?
No, because I didn't think they've changed the balls. I do think the balls are back. I think the ball, if you go look at the numbers.
Schwindel fucking shit on that ball yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the balls are back to where I think the dead ball is starting to get weeded out. Because they're all in humidors. It's not like I don't think the balls are manufactured different. I think they are manufactured different. I should say that.
Yeah.
But the true reason why they're being dead is they put humidors in all the major league stadiums. And so now they're trying to experiment and figure it out. And I think they got huge backlash initially. It was like, holy fuck, our home run projections are down 30-something percent. So they've been manipulating the balls to try and figure it out. If you look at some of these fucking scores now, though, like, you're getting double digits, too. You know, the first 4 weeks of the season, all these totals, 6.5, 7, 7.5. You'd see 8, you know, the games in fucking Arizona. Oh, shit, 8. Now it's so. And the Cubs aren't, if it is a dead ball, the Cubs can fucking play ball with that. But if we're going to go back to launch angle and shit, this Cubs team is going to get fucking run out the door. Awful. So,
what do you mark up Saez's issues too?
Yeah, I mean, guys are going to figure him out too. And he's just playing every day, and it's a grind, and the bullpens are better, and the stuff's better for Major League Baseball than he's used to. So, and he needs some help, man. If you can put some guys around him that he can fucking click with and work with. But, you know, like, when Nico Horner's, he's a professional hitter. He's a good hitter. He should be playing center field. Said that 1,000 times. But now people are like, whoa, Luis, defensive run saved is so high. It's like, eye test. I'm not talking about defensive run saved. I'm talking about a major league shortstop. He ain't it. Don't fucking tell me, you know, he's plus when he goes to his glove side. It's like, no, I've watched him play. I don't know. You know, you don't need advanced metrics if you can sit and watch someone play and be like, yeah, they're just not.
They're not that guy.
Exactly. Like, not that fucking guy. Yeah. I don't give a fuck what his UZR DZS is.
Yeah.
It's just like, he doesn't have, he would be I'd rather have him be pretty good in center field and fucking great in the box. And he looks fine in the box. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the Cubs. And Tom Ricketts, this is where these moments where you're like 15th in payroll, like, really, dude? Really 15th in payroll? You know, I saw Alfonso Rivas was playing against the Los Angeles Dodgers the other night. You know, I like Alfonso Rivas. He's going to be a good player. He should be on a major league roster. He's good. He's fine. Drafted him in the fifth round out of Arizona. Maybe he could play a little left field. You know, he's like an opposite field left first baseman, doesn't strike out a lot. You know, he's like he's exactly like if it were the 80s, this guy would get 700 plate appearances a year. But
yeah,
he's like, and then you see Freddie Freeman take the field for the Dodgers, stand next to each other, and you're just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, I don't like playing the Dodgers.
No.
Could I say that?
Why?
It's fucking scary.
Aren't they? They would beat They're the loaded. I said this yesterday. They're they could awesome. Beat an AL All-Star team in a 7-game series.
They aren't.
The AL, yeah. AL stinks.
If you were like, give me the best. I'm not saying that they would. I'm saying they could.
Yeah.
Like, where, if you would say that otherwise, it'd be like, dude, 9 out of 10.
No.
Preposterous thought, even, like, in other years.
You could say they have the best first baseman. They have the best shortstop. You could say they have one of the best second basemen. They have the best right fielder. They have one of the best catchers. They have their center fielder won an MVP, like, nearly running away. And people don't even fucking talk about that guy. Like, in their line, you're like, oh, yeah, Cody Bellinger's on that team. Like, Cody Bellinger ran away with an MVP award. And you're like, oh, yeah, he plays center field. They're a fucking wagon, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, it's crazy.
So they're a good organization that wants to win baseball games.
I wish they weren't the LA Dodgers, though. Like, I feel like that has such a heel storyline and, like, a different, like, obviously, what do you the mean? Yankees.
It'd be sweet if they were the Athletics.
West. Yeah.
You know, yeah. If it was like the Athletics or like the Rockies or just some team where you're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, or just like someone who just, you know what I mean? Like, I wish it was the like Yankees.
Or even the Padres. Is that what you're saying? Well, like, so there's somebody like, more likable than them?
Not even. Someone who could be unlikable but interesting. You know, like the Mets. Like, I don't
so
know.
So you just have the Dodger fatigue.
Yeah, like it's just like you just, I've come to expect that this is, they're going to sign the next big free agent and they're going to have this prospect and I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I need that, like, because as good as they are, they're not very hateable. Would you agree or no?
Yeah, there's a bunch of, they're just a bunch of nice boys.
Yeah.
Like, look at Trey, like, who the fuck is going to talk shit to, like, a Trey Turner or a Gavin Lux or a Max Muncy, you know? I mean, Freddie Freeman's kind of a little bit of a bitch, but.
He is a bitch. I don't like him.
The trick is you got to put it on their fans. You have to hate the fans, not the team.
Yankees fans are easily hateable. I don't really know Dodgers fans.
I don't like any West Coast good weather fans. Like, they don't really appreciate it. They don't really care. They have like this once
LA
in a,
stinks.
They stink at everything.
LA stinks.
Yeah, so
I think they get behind the Dodgers though, right?
No, yeah, they I'm, do like
I Dodgers. Think it's the Lakers mostly.
I think it's for the Lakers more.
Yeah. I mean, I
but even that it feels fake and it's just I don't
like
know,
celebrities but, sitting courtside and
like, do you think there's a like there's Dodgers people like Dave who are just sitting there like fucking God.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
I don't not as miserable as you.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right. That's what I mean.
But what's there to be miserable about? There are constantly World Series contenders.
That
sure.
is my point. Everything about their fandom and their life is fucking easy. The weather's always nice. They never have to
so
deal with any
So how can they be
rain.
Fucking miserable? I'd be in heaven if the White Sox operated like them.
Because I don't like people who have an easy fan experience. Uh-uh. That's my point.
Misery's
that's why I don't
like
them.
Not only a part of being a fan, it's the part of being
it's
a fan.
Necessary.
It's necessary. Yeah. You need those dark days to appreciate the good days even more.
Correct.
But I do think that there are Dodgers fans that obsess over the team.
Yeah,
sure.
Probably. Yeah.
But probably much fewer and farther
Correct.
Between.
So it's a rough situation we have with the Cubs, and it just seems like we're just like – where I went in the season, being like, just drag me into July. Like, at least just give me a couple big home stands. You know, give me a couple opportunities in the summer to like actually be walking around Clark Street after a game. Like, oh, we get, you know, we're hot. We just won three in a row. Like, this could be the fucking, nope. No, it's going to be really tough to get that. I mean, it's going to be tough to, I shouldn't say tough, basically nearly
it's
impossible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Impossible. So we'll just focus on the farm system, bro. Talk about Pete Crow Armstrong. You know,
good name.
I know, dude. It fucking blows.
PCA.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Tom, Rangers down 3-1. Chief, you've been watching these games with him?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun the other night. I mean, I bet the Rangers, and I bet the Rangers to win the series as soon as I saw Louis Dominguez in there. But seeing Tom just, you know, he gets here, he's pacing around, he gets his computer plugged in, so we get the MSG, the home broadcast, none of this national shit. Tom wants to be like he's in New York, and his screen was like, I was sitting over there so I could watch both games, and his screen was like 3 seconds ahead of mine, and just hearing him go, fuck, whenever, you know, six different times in that game. It was fun.
So what you're saying is you get pleasure out of seeing your friends miserable.
Yeah. When it comes to sports, I definitely do. Because I'm sitting there miserable too, because every single game that I put on, it's Blackhawks. So it's, you know,
I've even noticed that.
I'm watching the Ranger game and it's Panarin. And, you know, it's like you put on the Kings game and they got Philip Deneau, and, you know, then the Oilers have Duncan Keith, and you put on Carolina and Boston, and Carolina's got Teravainen. You put on Florida, they got Duclair and Forza. It's literally every team. Toronto, David Kampf. It's you could make a playoff roster. Ryan Hartman, Fleury, all these different guys. Ranta. Every single team has Blackhawks castoffs, and they're all good and important players. Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I love TVR. He and I are like friendly. I forgot that he was still in the league, and he is like, I put on the Capitals game against the Panthers. I'm like, oh, there's TVR. There's another one. So like, it's just, that's the only thing. It's just, I just think I'll never get over it.
I don't think you will, because I think we talked about this last week.
No, did we? Yeah. It's the same teams are still going. Yeah. And it's just, it makes it miserable. And even though all the people that I despise and that ruin this organization are gone, it's like, because now it's over. This run, you know, this run's over, and it's like, well, all the guys that we've been looking for were there, and they're just on other teams.
From now on, he is known as Tommy Domingue to me.
So, Tommy Domingue.
Yeah. Tommy Domingue, why?
Because, I mean, you guys are getting your lunch served to you by Louis Domingue.
It is preposterous.
It's bad, yeah.
Tom showed up today in his lucky t-shirt, though. Wagon. Yeah. Rangers wagon.
Are there any
shirt.
Holes in that t-shirt, wagon. Tom?
No.
There should be. That would make it an actual lucky. Like, you have to wear that.
It's a newer shirt, but.
They just sold it this year when Rangers were in first place for like a week, and we declared the Rangers were a wagon. I mean, mm-hmm. they were a regular season wagon. No excuses for how they're playing now. It sucks.
It's one of those things where it's like, I put a lot, you know, responsibly on the Rangers. I wish I had maybe paid a little bit closer attention to them during the year, because defensively, Tom, their structure is pathetic in their own zone.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't like. I'm not seeing anything where I'm like, oh, like we should have seen. Like what they're doing is like stuff they've never done in the regular season. So.
Okay,
and like, Igor hasn't been like fucking Vezina. Sidney Crosby's back to being Sidney Crosby. He's unbelievable.
When he's got 6 to 10 feet to skate through without getting challenged, it makes it easier to look like you're, you know. Like it was 10 years ago.
Well, that's fair, but it's still, I mean.
No, he's great.
What he's doing is still insane. No excuses.
Probably put a body on him.
Louis Domingue got to score goals against that guy. It's bad.
I mean, he's pathetic. But, like, I found my old tweets about him going back, and it's all these goals, like Dustin Byfuglien scoring from, like, the other blue line. A guy wrapping it, like dumping the puck
in the other blue line,
like in between the blue line and the red line, he just ripped a slap shot right in.
So bad.
That's like a football field.
It's not. Yeah. No, I mean, it's should be impossible.
Yeah.
So bad that I have a friend who listens to the show, and he's like, last week, he's like, I don't think I've heard Chief so disparaging about anybody. He fucking shits on Louis Domingue.
I got my hopes up real high for that.
Well, he is. He's a minor league goalie, like, if that. And it's just a desperate situation because the Penguins are out of guys.
No,
he only played two games for him this year. And he's played more playoff games than he has regular season games in the
NHL.
I don't even
think it's, like, him having, like, a crazy, like, career run right now.
Nope.
I think the Rangers are just not putting any, like, high chances on him.
No pressure.
Bad. Are they still hitting hockey playoffs? Still hitting? I haven't watched any NHL playoffs.
The hockey playoffs are incredible.
I know, but like I didn't know if this year was any better or worse. Crazy.
Though every season except for Colorado, which they look unbeatable right now.
Like the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can that flip on a dime though? Or is it like once you're hot, it's
I feel like at playoff hockey, like if you're hot, you're hot.
It's not even about being hot. It's just like they just have. It is more like the Dodgers, where their guys are just much better than everybody else. Like they have Nathan MacKinnon is the most, other than McDavid, the most explosive forward in the game, and he's been spectacular. But he's not even the most explosive player on his own team, and that's Cale Makar as a defenseman. Cale Makar, I've never seen a freak of nature on defense in my entire life the way that Cale Makar is.
So to beat Colorado, you basically have to, like, as Ross said after they got waxed by the Dodgers, he was like, hopefully these guys realize, like, to play that team, you have to pitch perfect, you have to run the bases perfectly, you have to hit with two, you can't like play an average game. And that's what kind of, I don't know, it just kind of like,
yeah, Nashville is never going to have the horses to do it. I thought it would be more competitive than it was. I think Minnesota and St. Louis would be the winner of that series, would be their next opponent. They'll try to make it a rock fight where it's just like, we're not going to let you guys wheel and deal and fly around. They're going to try their best to slow it down, make it ugly. And then hopefully, you know, and then
a couple bounces.
And then, you know, Darcy Kemper has been good for them. Frank Hughes got into that series, too. But you would think Minnesota and St. Louis would have at least a slight edge in goaltending. I don't know that it'll matter. Like a hot goalie can do a lot for you. Typically, a hot goalie is not going to like steal four games, and you're going to have to steal four games against that team. So,
and the Lightning are going to win their series, correct?
I kind of think I think so. You do?
Yeah. Come on.
It's still 3-2.
I know, but it's the Leafs.
I know it's the Leafs. So they changed my mind last night. They changed my mind last night because, you know, historically, like they're up 3-2. The series is tied at 2. It's game 5. And McDonough comes down and just hammers one to tie the game with like a 10 or 11 minutes to go. And it's like, oh, here's Toronto. They blow a lead. This is when they crumble. And it's like the Lightning are the champs. Toronto is the team that always, always fucks it up in the playoffs. And it's like this is the moment where they get their hearts ripped out again. And I was really looking forward to it because I love seeing the people in the square in Toronto just absolutely die. It's like one of my favorite annual traditions. And I was like, here it comes. And then Austin Matthews was like, oh, no, no, no. And he does like he's been I said it in game one. And it sounds like such a meatball thing to say. He has a look in his eye. Like I know how that sounds, but he does. Like he's all over the place. And he had the game winning goal last night. And Marner, you know, was a big factor in that play too. I think, and it is impossible to win three in a row. No one's won three in a row since the Islanders in the early 80s. That was the last team that went three in a row. So maybe Tampa Bay is a little bit ripe for it. And Toronto, it might just be their time. Until they lose to, you know, Boston or Carolina in the next round. But I think they can do it this year.
Listen up. We've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend. And all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Dozen bracket.
Yeah, this is huge. I want to bring something up first real quick. Because I haven't brought it up to Ed yet, but it made me sick to my stomach. You dropped a foul ball at Wrigley the other night.
No, I didn't.
It was basically in your breadbasket.
No, he dodged it.
Exactly.
No,
that's more appropriately put. He got out of the way of foul ball. That was 1,000%.
Couldn't have been more directly at him.
Thank you, Tom.
You guys are legitimately lying.
I don't think I am. I saw the whole thing. It looked like you got out of the way.
This is L-I-E. This is a lie. It was two rows behind us. It was, but it skied over us.
Two rows behind you is arms
reach. Okay, me, fucking 5'9 guy, is going to reach over Dana, 6-whatever, Marty, 6-whatever, and Mulcahy, who's fucking 6, probably.
He's 6.
Yeah, he's 6.
Probably.
At least, and Mulcahy played a little college baseball, infield hands.
Yeah, so even if there was an opportunity, I'm getting powered over. I'm getting fucking, I'm losing that fucking position.
Tom?
I don't know. I saw a little of this.
No. If I don't want to foul ball, I have no problem not going for it.
Is this related to your yips?
I think that's what I was going to tie it to.
It's a lie that I could have gotten it, but at the same time, I don't fucking... I've saw an old man get hit in the face one time. He was gushing blood all over the place. I don't want that.
Yeah, so you're an old man.
That's why you use your hands.
Oh, you're going to... Neanderthal Dave, you're going to tell me...
I would have tried to, absolutely.
Fucking put red meat in my pocket to the stadium and catch a ball.
I think that when we had the souvenir draft, foul ball was very well received by you, but you're really... in your core, more of a lanyard guy.
Well, I didn't bring my mitt.
Well, I would hope not. Yeah. You did, I would have ripping on you this entire episode.
This is a lie, though.
It's not a lie. I'm not lying.
You're
going
to tell me I had a chance to catch that ball?
I thought you did, 100%.
Not even close.
1,000%.
Not even close.
Would you have liked to see an effort?
Yes. There was zero effort. It was he was avoiding that
foul. All those guys could vouch for me that there was no way I would have caught that ball.
Probably not, because there's other hands going for it and everything, but the lack of effort, like, that would have been incredible, because that would have been blasted all over the internet.
I go to Wrigley Field to have a couple beers, not jump up and fucking sprain an ankle and get carried out of there on a wheelchair,
all that stuff,
and then have everyone take a picture of me cuddled up in a blanket that they're going to make me put on, you know?
He's always worst case scenario.
Did all of that go through your head when the ball was towered?
Yeah, it's a long game policy. I calculate risks.
Yeah, that's
I calculate risks.
Ed.
You do have a quick moving brain, so maybe you could do it. Do you think it's better, Dave, to make an effort and not get it and look like a non-athlete if you people embarrass themselves, or do you think it's better just to you have it? Cool guy.
No, you make an attempt, but you gotta have fucking mitts.
Well, I can't remember what stadium it was at, but there was that guy. Might have been Dodger Stadium, where he had like 4 attempts at just different. Like, sitting on the first row.
Was he
row.
With the girl?
Yeah,
that was ugly.
Also, the kid next to me was eating nachos. The next thing you know, I'm fucking nacho butt. Is that worth it?
Yeah, it's a good story.
I could put it in the dog walk studio and be like, I caught this.
I've never caught one. So I never caught a foul ball.
Would you have made at least a half-assed attempt?
I think, knowing how I am, I think I'm making like a full attempt.
I probably would have gone full meatball.
It's thrilling. That's the closest.
I think I was talking about it with Steve. Steve Romano. I was sitting next to him. We were talking about this right after it happened. We just brought that hypothetical up. Like, if you go for it, is it better to not go for it or to go for it and like miss it and look?
That's
foolish?
What I just. Yeah,
chances are you're gonna miss it. A lose lose because
I don't think it is. Chances are you're gonna miss it because there's so many different people going for it. Your hands are gonna get knocked out of the way.
No one went for that ball. Remember, it bounced in an empty row and then it ricocheted.
Oh, they went for it. Fucking
Tom, you were right
ran over
next to Ed, correct? Because you guys were two rows behind.
He was far away, and you were up. Oh,
I was in
front
of you guys. Yeah. By like a row or two.
Yeah. Talking fucking turkeys with Sydney. You weren't fucking ready either. You could have made the dash.
That meat was
good. I saw Ed. I was like, oh, at least one of us is going to get it. Not even an attempt. I was disgusted with what I saw. Disgusted. Disgusted.
Do you guys like your seed? 4 seed?
I like a 4 seed. I feel like Syracuse in like the mid-2000s, we can make a good run if we just stick to our game plan.
You play spit and chicklets.
I like that too, because I think White Sox Dave is just like the perfect. He's like the perfect counter to Whitney and Biz, where people would be intimidated, right, to go up against Spit and Chicklets in the live tournament. Those guys are ferocious.
I'm not intimidated
exactly.
By them.
You're coming in there, Dave. You're gonna be like a fucking.
Feel like Whitney puts Dave in a lunchbox every time he comes on.
Yeah, but like the fact that Whitney's head's gonna be all about Dave is what it's about.
Exactly.
Yeah, Whitney puts him.
I'll be that little lure that they run at the dog tracks. I'll be that.
Yeah, and Dave just kicks himself out of the lunchbox and just gets right back in it the next time. Like, Dave's impervious to people putting him in lunchboxes.
It's a great asset for you guys, because he ain't answering any questions live. So.
What's that?
I said it's a great asset for you guys, because he ain't answering any questions live. You're calling me for foul balls, I'm coming at you.
Wow.
That was tough.
I got one of the questions right.
The Yankees.
Don't. We're fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody's good.
Yeah.
We're all good.
But realistically, I think that's a good matchup for you guys.
I love it. I love it. And I love those guys, too. I hope Whitney has the guts to show up in person. I know he's been living in New Jersey for a week, but he should show up in person for this.
I don't believe he is. I think he's there this week.
I know he's there this week. Yeah. He should go home, play his golf over the weekend, and spend some time with the kids, fly right back.
Be nice.
What's your seed?
We're an 11 seed.
No, that's like you guys obviously shouldn't. You're like one of those bullshit at large teams from the SEC that has like a fucking below 500 record or something everybody's bitching about.
They should have a playing
game. There's 16 teams in. We're the only team that beat the Frankettes this year, by the way.
We've beat them.
But this year, this season.
Sure, okay, they're stronger this year.
Yeah, they're crafted better.
We haven't played them.
We beat them and beat the Honkers. I mean, they've been struggling this year, but.
Well, Mincy Torrell will get you.
We have the number one strength of schedule team because Jeff, you know. I don't know.
And why? Point a finger at Jeff right now.
Well, because he puts us against wagons. That's just what he does.
Why, though? Why do you think?
Well, because Dave is on our team. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, it's hard to get on his schedule. So when he gets on, he just puts us against Chicklets and Minahan and shit like that.
You guys
so.
Played Chicklets?
Yeah.
And he lost.
We lost by one, yeah, in the last round.
That's tough. That a late loss, especially those guys, those hooligans. Chief brought up something yesterday that made me laugh out loud because I hadn't thought about it in a while. And it's literally one of the great moments, like great little clips in Dozen history when Jeff's giving the speech at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, from last year's tournament. It was just at the bar, I think. No. It's in front of the studio, and he's giving like this big emotional speech. And Frank the Tank just sitting there like looking at his watch. Like, literally, like, get the fuck out. And not for the camera. He was just genuinely like, come on, man.
Dude, like, Matt's first pitch is in an hour. I'm not going to miss it over this stuff.
Get it over with.
It'll be good, too, to get back to – it'll be good to get out to New York together. I don't know if we're going to be out there to do –
it's been a while.
Like a red line, but are we going to do maybe like a draft or something out there?
Yeah,
on Monday
I would anticipate doing something for sure.
And this is really
good.
Like the only time of the year where maybe in the holiday season too, it's just been different, but we know people are going to get together. It's like the family party or like the graduation party where like all the cousins are going to get together. Mm-hmm. You know, like Aunt Nancy's coming down from Minnesota, like everybody gets together.
So you have other aunts?
Aunt Nancy's the oldest aunt on my mom's side and is like the matriarch of aunt in my life. But I always go to Aunt Nancy. She's a huge supporter too. Like,
oh, nice.
Huge supporter.
That's great.
Yeah.
We drew your mom. Have you guys ever played them?
No.
No.
Honestly, Robbie? I thought you were talking about Joyce right there. So I was like, what are you talking about?
No.
Mom?
That's KFC, Jack McCarthy, and Rudy.
Rudy's
supposed
Rudy's
to be
good.
Very good. Yeah. He's a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
He's also
unassuming smart.
And he's also just cool.
Dave versus KFC is a good matchup.
Yeah, I agree. A blood feud.
KFC could get in his head, right? Do you think so?
In Dave's head?
I don't think they could have some kind of spat at the start.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Dave will want to beat KFC, right?
Yeah.
His game will be elevated a little bit. He'll be like,
exactly.
He's not really a big trivia guy, though.
Who, Dave?
Yeah,
no, he's self-admitted. He said,
"Yeah, he's kind of luggage for you guys."
Well, he's a good part to our team because he doesn't let us overthink.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
So he's more of like a manager, leader.
He delegates and then says, "Okay, we're going with that."
Yes, exactly. Then if you guys win, you play the winner of experts versus misfits.
I gotta say,
that's a battle.
If it ever comes down to my gut. And Carl's gut against Dave's gut, I'm never going with Dave again.
That's fine.
It's okay.
That's fine. I like that we have this opportunity to go out there as a four seed, then, you know, it's okay. We're like, to be honest with you, I think that live event was like, I don't know, it's like when the Patriots lost to the Giants in week 17, you know, and you just have to reset going into playoffs. Like,
it'll
sure.
It'll be in a DVD set.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those games you highlight as the low and you bounce back.
But we're still on our journey in the 2022 season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean that's big. You guys put champs in the Twitter name and everything.
Oh, I wrote that. I put the champ in thinking like I'd have it in my Twitter profile for like a week, 2 weeks. Like we hadn't won so many. It was like a ridiculous improbable run. Yeah. We ended up winning like another four.
It was like 2 months.
It was like call me champ from December until until like 2 weeks ago.
Who'd you guys lose to in the first round last year?
XYZ.
No. Was it?
Smokin.
Smokin. It was Smokin.
Yeah.
Smokin. Yeah. I mean,
champs.
Yeah. They won the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. Honkers did.
Honkers did.
They okay. Did. Oh, my bad. Smock and, I mean, but they, you know, they had Titus for college basketball, and then they have, like, their niche category is anime. And it's like, wow.
We actually kind of came close to getting that one because we studied it up.
Yeah. But close doesn't count. So. No.
Which just gives you a little peek behind the curtain of, like, how, like, uncontrollably competitive. Like, yeah, well, I'm going to look up anime movie. I had no chance of getting that right, but that didn't stop me from scrolling through titles for a half hour thinking something would land.
Nope. And all those titles are so weird, too. There's like,
you can't remember.
It's an impossibility.
The Moonwalker's Sunrise in the Evening Sky Part 2 Berserk or something.
That's every single anime title.
Getting your block knocked off in a live, even if it's not a live show, if it's just live in general, like in person, is awful.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Sucks.
Did you book your flight home yet?
No, I did not. Did you?
No, I didn't.
You did. I see you smiling.
I looked it up last night. I was going to get the Tuesday night. I didn't know.
Wow. How do you guys feel about that? I was fucking Aramis Ramirez and Alou over there. That's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
It's funny you say that during this, while we were talking about this, Caitlin Walker emailed us about travel, and I said, do it for Wednesday.
I didn't book it, Ed. I just told you. I know what the rates are Tuesday night.
The cohesion is not great. Mm. Don't take the Chicago future. You guys heard it here.
Anything else, boys? Congratulations to White Sox Dave for making home safe. I was worried about you.
I was worried about me.
See Dave wandering around Red Sox games, day games, hammered. Like, oh, this could be.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
How was your reception there? Did people know who you are?
Yeah, dude. It was wild. I was expecting much different, but ton of Red Sox fans were like, oh, you're out here. I'm like, yeah, I'm out here. And I got along with every single one of them.
Really?
Many, many beers had with Red Sox fans. They were.
I thought you had a booth set up and be like, the White Sox are the real Sox. Changed my mind.
Not one of those comments. I drank plenty of Miller Lights with plenty of Red Sox fans.
We got to meme that.
Yeah, we got to do that.
I don't care about that. I've said this so many times to Red Sox fans. I'm like, dude, if I'm in Chicago and I'm speaking amongst White Sox fans and Cubs fans, I'm going to refer to the Sox as the Sox. If I'm in Boston or I'm speaking to like a national audience for whatever reason, I will say the White Sox. I will differentiate. But as everybody knows, in Chicago, the Sox are the White Sox. That's just how it is. Who gives a shit? Why does it got to be a dick measuring contest? Who owns the shortened name?
I also think
it's the dumbest thing on earth to me.
The White Sox do lean into just the shortened name a little bit more, too, like officially. Like,
that is true. It's all over their fucking uniforms. It's on their main hat.
Right.
It's on their Sunday 83s. It's like, sorry. And if we want to go this route, the White Sox have been an organization longer.
That's true.
So I think you just won this meme.
I had a good the enemy, the black eye arm, the white eye arm, shaking hands moment. Yeah.
When White Sox, Yankees.
Yeah, White Sox Dave tweeted, Tessie is a hoe and Neil Diamond blows. Those were two great tweets I loved.
I think a lot of it has to do also with whenever we were in the seats, I was yucking it up with all the Red Sox fans. Red Sox fans know very much that the Red Sox fucking blow. That team sucks. So they're like apathetic to it. They're like, this team fucking stinks. And they're gross ass garbage accents. And I'm like they do. Like, sorry. I know it's a World Series or bust every year for you guys, but this team fucking stinks, and they know it. So they're just like, whatever. Let the White Sox guy have his fun for the weekend.
His moment.
I love that fucking stadium.
It's a great stadium.
It's the absolute best place on earth.
Good sports fans. Good people.
Great place to watch a baseball game.
We'll have to go out there. We'll have to go out there again sometime soon. And that's it for this week. Tune in next week.
I assume so.
Mm-hmm. Tweet anything.
No.
Live from New York next week, because we'll be in the dozen championship. Yes. Carl would have flown home, but Dave and I will
let
carry
the record show. I have not booked travel home. I just know the pricing for flights on Tuesday night.
Okay.
All gas.
No breaks.
DJ Playership.